Good evening,
everybody.
If you feel led to and you want to move up closer together and we can all worship together, feel free to do so. It makes us feel a little more comfortable, but it's okay. It's good to see all y'all here tonight. It's vacation season for Eagleswood Church, wedding season, football season. And a great thing about our church is that we have so many leaders that can step in and place and do their thing. And Dad's going to lead us tonight, which is awesome. Been a crazy day trying to get here and get practice. We don't have as much time on Wednesday nights to practice like we do on Sunday mornings, but we got a great lineup for you tonight. Great worship songs. As a matter of fact, the first song I said it Sunday, it's my favorite worship song. So whatever, you know, has been going on today, and it's been hectic for me trying to get here, let's lay all that aside. It's called Your Love Never Fails, and I'm telling you, if you just focus on God's love and what he does for you and sing this song with your just as loud as you can, I'm telling you, it'll move you. So let's stand and let's worship. We'll be right back. things work together for my good. Yes, you made all things work together for my good. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you made all things work together for my good. Thank you, God, that you make all things work together for our good, Father. We thank you so much that your love never, ever fails and that you're always there for us. We praise you tonight, God. We give you praise. There in the newborn cry, we're there in the light of every sunrise, we're there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top. Sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your
just want to say thank you. I'm so thankful that you pursue us and that you don't stop and that you're there in every moment. And every thought and every decision and every circumstance. And I thank you that your grace finds me, because if it didn't sometimes, I'm not sure I would come around, God. So I just thank you so much for your love and your grace and your beauty, Jesus. And we lay down everything right now, God, to praise you and to thank you and to love you and to love on you and to worship you for everything that you do for us, God. You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mysteries, in oceans deep, my faith will stay. Thank you. There's nothing worthwhile that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence here. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, we need your presence. We need your presence. That's our prayer to you tonight, Jesus. That is our prayer to you tonight. All of these words that we just sang to you, surrendering, trusting, stepping out, God, letting it go. Under your glory and under your mercy and your grace, Jesus, let it wash over us. We want to be swept away tonight, Jesus. We love you so much. In your name we pray.
Some housekeeping stuff to begin with, some announcements. Holly wanted me to let you know that they are starting to collect wrapped candy for our second annual Trunk or Treat this Sunday. So go to Walmart, go to Rose's, go wherever you go, buy a bag of candy and bring it and drop it off here. She said they will collect it up until October 25th. Trunk or Treat is October 28th. There's also going to be a hot dog dinner available for a donation. We came last year. If you didn't come last year, I'm telling you, this is kind of a new thing to me. Never heard of it before, but it's really cool. Where you decorate your car, your trunk, or your inside of your van, or whatever you want to drive, park it out here, dress up, and all the kids just stay in the parking lot going from car to car getting candy. And it was a lot of fun. Anybody come last year by there? Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So I want to urge you to take part in that. Second thing is Sunday. Dr. Ralph Martin's going to be speaking Sunday, and you don't want to miss it. It'll be the last sermon in the series of Living the Summit Life. So make sure you're here on Sunday to hear that and hear Ralph. All righty? Good. All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Birchwood Drive in Griffin, Georgia. I want to get the energy going in here. I'm going to try that one more time now that you know what's going on. Okay, and now, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Birchwood Drive in Griffin, Georgia. Now we're getting somewhere. I want to have the energy going here, okay, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure what's going to happen tonight. I'm prepared, but when I say that, I say it because I'm excited. I've just had a feeling about me all day long. Something might happen here tonight where it's not what I expected, but I expect some things to happen here tonight. I expect some lives to be changed. I expect some people to recognize some things and to make some commitments tonight, and I hope you're expecting the same thing. I want to start the talk off tonight with this statement: change your belief and you'll change your life. Change your belief, and you'll change your life. The question that I have for you tonight is, what do you need to change about what you believe? What do you need to change about what you believe? Here's another question. What do you believe? I'm going to do a little more housekeeping cleanup right here, run this over, just in case Papa decides to run down here and dance, so I don't want him to trip. What do you believe? Are you destined for failure? Are you destined to struggle? To always be behind? You're just unlucky? It's just in your DNA? Or do you believe in better things? Tonight I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you, and I'm going to repeat this at the end of this talk. Tonight I want to challenge you about what you believe about yourself, where you are, and where you're headed. I want to challenge you to make a change for you to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. What is your purpose and destiny? So many times, so many people just go through life just living life. not really latched on and knowing what their purpose or their destiny is. It's just whatever the day brings, that's what I'll do, and I'll do it again tomorrow, and we'll just do that. What I want to tell you tonight is there's much more to it than that. You can do it that way. You can live your life that way. Or you can change. You can latch on to something else. You can latch on to what you were actually put here to do. I want to challenge you tonight to see it and then go get it. I want you to listen to this message and let it speak to you and let it move you. I told you, I'm expecting some things tonight. I really am. I want you to expect the same thing. I have a Bible story for you tonight, and the message is different from what you've heard. And it's, as I prepared for this, and I was just thinking while we were doing praise and worship, listen, I was the kind of student in school, when there was a book report due, I didn't read the book until that morning, and I usually did, well, of course I didn't read the whole book. I read just enough to get a report done so I could get by. I didn't like doing it. And I was thinking about how much fun I love doing what I do right now of preparing for this and how that just has totally flipped around. It's where I'm excited. I go up and I go and I read and I just dig and I dig. And I know the last time I spoke at church, I did a little bit of this same thing where I had a scripture and there was a different message to the scripture than I'd ever saw before. And God, as I was starting to prepare for this a few weeks back, I was trying to figure out what scripture I was going to use, what my theme was going to be. And I've shared with you before what I usually do, like when Buren told me that he was going to have me do this. As thoughts come in my head, I just have a document on my computer and I just go and write down the sentence. And when I first start putting this stuff together, I got about 25 sentences that mean absolutely nothing to each other. They're just all over the place. And then I think about a scripture and what my theme needs to be tonight. What do I really want to talk about, or what does God want me to talk about? And then I just start rearranging the stuff and digging. And it's really fun to me how all that stuff just comes together. So, but last time I used a scripture verse and I used it a little different than I'd ever heard before. And I've got the same scenario tonight. And as I started to prepare for this, God kept impressing on my heart to read in Judges the battle of Gideon and the Midianites. And I love that story. I like that story. I've always have. And so I went and I read it. And when I read it, I saw something I've never saw before that popped out to me, came to me, and I'm going to share that with you tonight. You know the story that's in chapter 7 of Judges of Gideon and his army defeating the Midianites. You know the story, but I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to tell it in my way. I might add a few things. I might drop a few things. Just stick with me, but it's my story. It's what I read, okay? That's how it goes. And I will read some scripture so that we stay on task, okay? The time had come to deliver Israel from the hands of the Midians. If you read the story, you'll see where God went to the smallest tribe, the least family within that tribe, and he chose the youngest member of that family, Gideon. Not what most of us would have thought. I want to say it again. He went to the smallest tribe, the least family in the tribe, and then he chose the youngest of the family to lead his people. The importance of that for me and for you tonight here is to consider ourselves. I didn't get to greet everybody when they came in. Miss Kelly, I looked and saw you. I'm so happy you're here. I didn't know you was going to be here. And I glanced back there, and there she is. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't get to see everybody, but is there anybody here who's related to the royalty in England by any chance? Anybody got any royal blood that you know of? Really royal blood? Don't? Anybody? Anybody here a real celebrity, signs autographs, that kind of thing? Does anybody like that? Anybody written a famous book that a lot of people have read? No? My point in that is we're all kind of normal people tonight, right? We're normal people, just kind of like what Gideon was. We're normal people. And I want you to remember that as I go forward. So on the surface, let's just remember we're all just normal folks. Okay, doing our thing, living our life, doing what we do. The story of this battle that took place, you know what happened? That Gideon was told by God to gather up enough men to create this army to go into battle. And so he went and he tried to gather up as many people as he could. And you know what number he came back with? He had 32,000 men. 32,000 who are willing to put their lives on the line and to fight to deliver Israel. 32,000 sounds like a lot. The Midian army had 135,000. They were going up against an army that had 135,000 men. 32 is not too many. You know how the story goes. In verse 2, God told Gideon, he said, Gideon, you have too many men. You got too many men. Think about that for just a second. Because we're just normal folks. Too many men. So he told Gideon how to separate the men. And so he told them, first of all, he said, I want you to go to the men who are really too fearful to fight. They have a reason that they don't want to fight. Release them and let them go home. Tell them that they can go if they're not fully committed. Out of the 32,000 men that he went in front of and gave them that offer, and I'm sure Gideon in his mind and heart is thinking, I hope nobody leaves. 22,000 of them went home. 22,000 left, over two-thirds of his army. They all just said, thanks for that offer. I'm out of here. I'm gone. And they left. So now Gideon is left with a group of men of 10,000. 10,000 against 135,000. And God came to him and said, you still have too many men. There's too many. So you know the rest of that story, but again, so he told Gideon to send all the men down to the river to drink, get water, and the ones that lapped like a dog, send them home. The ones that stayed upright to know what was going on around them, keep those. The rest of them, tell them to go. And so he did. Sent them all down to the river. Out of 10,000 of them, only 300 stood up to drink. The rest of them got down on their knees, put their heads in the water where they couldn't see what was going on around them. And Gideon tapped them on the shoulder and said, you can go. You can go. You can go. Now, if you're staying with me with the math, now he has 300 men. 300 to fight a battle against 135,000 men. Would any of you be scared? Anybody be scared? Where I want to go with this story is to think about this for just a second now. Think of the mindset that those 300 people had. Think of the mindset that those 300 people had going up against that group. What do you think they thought? You see, if they thought they were going to lose, they would have joined the other guys. Their mindset was different. They had a complete different mindset. Skipping on through the story, in verse 9, God told Gideon, after he had pared it down to 300 men, he said, I want you to go down to the camp and listen. So Gideon took his aide with him, and he snuck down to the camp of the Midianites to try to get in there to see whatever God wanted him to hear. And when he got down there, he heard somebody telling a story. And somebody was telling a story about a dream that they had. And the dream that they had was that the children of Israel defeated them in this battle, that they were going to die. And that story was being told. This soldier was telling people about this dream. He had dreamed that Gideon was going to win this battle. He had a bad feeling about it. I want to stop for a second here, because this is where we're going to separate this story into two good lessons for us. And I've already shared a little bit of one, but two good lessons for us. As I read this story, and I read it several times, there are two distinct lessons that I saw in this story. And I know you can go in a lot of different ways with this whole story and everything that happened, but there are two lessons that I saw that I want to share with you tonight. And they all are around our thoughts and our beliefs. So Gideon had 300 men, and God had told him what to do. He took the 300 men and he shared with them what their plan was. And I'm going to read the scripture from here in chapter 7, verse 19 through 21. Gideon, before the scripture verse, he had 300 men. He split them into three companies of 100, three separate groups, and sent them on their way for this plan. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. After they had changed the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew their trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets that they were to blow. And they shouted, "A sword of the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran crying out as they fled. Now the plan that Gideon had worked perfectly, and why not? It was God's plan, what he told him to do. But what he did was he just surrounded the camp with the 300 men. They all held the jars. They had torches and they had trumpets. They smashed the jars at the same time to make this huge sound. They had the flame was showing. They blew the horns and they shouted. Now, remember what I told you about the story. There was a soldier in that camp who had had a dream that they were going to die. And you know how stories run rampant when somebody tells a story and then it starts to spread throughout. See, it didn't take long. He told that story, and that story started to spread among the army of the Midianites, 135,000 of them. And I'm sure there were some people who heard that story that scoffed at it and said, it's not going to happen. But what this story tells us is there were a lot of people who took the story and the dream to be real. And they allowed a thought to be placed inside their head that they were going to die, that they were going to lose. The scripture tells us that when they blew the horns, when they shouted, when they broke the pots, that there was mass confusion in the valley where they were. And what they did was, this was in the night, so they woke up and it was dark and they started killing each other, thinking that it was the army of Israel who had come upon them. Now, think about this for just a second, because as that battle started to rage, and as people started screaming, and as people were dying, and that there were things that were happening, you know what thoughts and things that had already been said, that remember what we've all learned about positive and negative energy, about the negativity and the things that were happening, there was fear overwhelming them. So much fear that they killed each other. They killed each other because, see, they were convinced in their mind, because of the dream that had been delivered and people had talked about, that they were going to die that night. And the scripture says that they fled, and the ones that were that they didn't get killed in the battle where they were actually fighting themselves. So the children of Israel won this battle without any hand-to-hand combat. It was simply by following God's plan. But everything happened here because of a thought process. And it was on both sides. See, the first lesson that I had never saw before, but as I prepared this message was the lesson of how the Midianites allowed the thought of something that was not even real overwhelm them. They took the thought that somebody had said through a dream. And now this is my addition here, but I know what human nature is like. We all do it. Matter of fact, when I was at Delta, we used to have a guy at Delta. We called him the rumor guy, and this is what he did. He would actually go to one end of the building and start a rumor and wait to see how long it took to get to the other end of the building. There are three buildings of offices. And sometimes it was several days, but then somebody would come in and say, "Hey, have you heard?" And he started it. He knew, and he was just the guy. He was the rumor guy. He would make up a story about, maybe it's going to be we're going to get a raise. Delta's going to get this raise. So he would go down the other end and tell somebody, they're fixing to announce a raise on Tuesday. Yeah, it's coming out, so. And he would convince somebody, and see, the story would start to get told. And pretty soon it would make its way all the way down to the other end of the building. And it was always funny to him and to the people who knew that he was doing it. That story became real. See, people believed it. They believed it. And it all started with a thought and somebody saying something. See, that's what happened here with the Midianites, is a soldier had a dream. Now, the dream was going to be real. Okay? See, they had no idea what was taking place here. What they acted on was information that was delivered from a thought of somebody that they were going to be killed. See, if he'd have said, I had a dream that 300 people killed us, that it probably wouldn't have went very far. Most people would have dismissed that. That can't. That's not going to happen. But that's not what he said. He said that he had dreamed that they were going to die. See, they had a thought which created doubt. And even though that they had the numbers to defeat Gideon, they let their thoughts and their beliefs affect their response. When the fighting started, they didn't pay attention to who they were fighting, because they took the thought and the belief that this large army was taking them over. And so they just began to stab people, spear people, doing what they do in this battle. See, they weren't being attacked by a huge, powerful army, but this is the key. They thought they were. They believed that they were. Now, I'm not trying to make a case here that they could have won this battle. I know that they couldn't have. I want us to see the power in a thought and a belief system and what it does to us. Positive and negative. We've been doing that for a long time now, latching onto that. The second lesson that I want us to see is the belief that the men with Gideon had. Because I want you to think about this for just a second as I go back. There's 135,000 men that they can see. See, the 135,000, they didn't see that there's only 300. But the 300 could see what they were going to be up against. Think about the thought process that they had to stay there and fight. Think about the belief system that they had to stay there and fight. The idea here is to ask ourselves, what do we believe about ourselves? And what are we capable of? My question now is, what belief or thought is holding you back? I asked you earlier, what is it that needs to change in your life? And I hope you can identify that. Now, the next question is, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from making that change? Are we being defeated by thoughts rather than what's real, like the Midianites? Do we listen to things? We hear things. Do we tell ourselves? Do we listen to somebody else tell us how bad it is, and we accept it, and it is bad? It's really bad? Consider this example of how we allow ourselves to be defeated through a thought process or from someone else's opinion. Before 1954, it was documented by physicians and scientists that the human body was incapable of running a mile in less than 4 minutes. The human body was incapable of running a mile in less than 4 minutes. Doctors and scientists agreed, and it was documented. They thought that if you tried to put your body under that pressure, that your heart would actually explode. Doctors and scientists agreed that if you tried to run a 4 minute mile, that your nervous system would implode and you would fall over dead. Now, that was the thought process. I want keep in mind now, this is 1954. There have been Olympics, there have been all kinds of stuff. Nobody had ever ran a mile in less than 4 minutes because of that thought and that belief system. But on May 6th, and you know this story too, but on May 6th in 1954, Roger Bannister did what was impossible to do. He actually ran a race. He decided that he believed that he could do it. He didn't listen to somebody say that he couldn't. He dismissed the naysayers and the thoughts that were created to hold him and every other runner back. And he ran a mile in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. Broke the record. Wow. His heart didn't explode. His nervous system did not shut down on him, and he did not drop down and die. Now, here's what I want you to get on this, okay? You see, up until 1954, that was the belief system. You couldn't do it, or you would die. And he challenged the belief, and he did it. Up until 1954, it's never been recorded before. The most interesting part about this story to me is this. In the next 12 months, dozens of people ran a mile in less than 4 minutes. When up until 1954, everybody just said it couldn't be done, and therefore it couldn't. See, they allowed a belief system, a thought, somebody else's opinion to keep that from happening. What a difference a mindset makes. See, the current record for a mile today is still 3 minutes and 43.14 seconds. That's 16 seconds faster than what was thought that you would die if you hit that mark. 16 seconds. All because somebody said or challenged a belief system. And see, what I want to share with you tonight is to change your belief and you'll change your life. Because what you believe drives everything that you do. I had two stories prepared here, but I'm going to drop one, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to drop one. One of them is about the New York Yankees. They're okay. The other one, I was going to share something with you about the Alabama Crimson Tide. God had given that to me. And as I prepared this before Saturday, I was going to share it. But I asked God earlier this week, since what happened Saturday, if I could take it out, and he said yes. So we're going to forget Alabama, okay? So I'm only going to talk about the Yankees. The Yankees of New York are the elite team of baseball. They have been forever. I'm going to tell you how elite they are. And I didn't even know this, and I'm a big baseball fan, but when I looked all this up, there have been 110 World Series games, or World Series, not games, but World Series, played since they started the World Series. 110. The Yankees have played in 40 of them. 40 out of 110, one team has played in them. Out of the 40 that they've played in, they've won 27. 27 out of 110, out of all the teams. They have the most appearances in a World Series in any team, and it's a long way. It's a breakaway. When I started looking at the New York Yankees and thinking about this and our mindset and about this story of what you believe, I looked up the New York Yankees because I was thinking, why is that? Why does that happen? And it dawned on me, the reason it happened is because the New York Yankees have a mindset, and they live it. And they've lived it since they started. And the mindset is they expect to be in the World Series. See, most baseball teams, when they start in spring training, they're hopeful. They're trying. If everything sticks together and works out right. But the Yankees organization, they don't talk that way. They expect to be there. They don't expect not to be there. Now, as I prepared this, got up this morning, checked my computer. Yankees lost last night. They were in the one-game playoff. You had to get in the playoffs, and they lost. But doesn't matter. 40 World Series out of 110. See, the Yankees have an attitude. They have a belief system. They have a mindset. Every player, just about every player, I won't say every player, but just about every player who's ever either drafted or if they are traded to the New York Yankees, you know one of the first things that they say in an interview? They say something like this: the first time I put on those pinstripes, it changed everything. See, the pinstripes represent the Yankees. And players will tell you that when they put that uniform on, there's a different feeling of anywhere else they've ever been. See, we create our thoughts and our mindset and our expectations for everything that we do. We create our belief systems. We decide what's true. We decide what's true. What to believe. The Midianites believed one thing. The children of Israel believed something else. You see what happened there. But the whole idea was, and I know God orchestrated that whole miracle and how that happened, and there's all sorts of ways to look at that story. But for us tonight, I want us to think about the belief system that they both had and then ask ourselves, what is our belief system? See, I want us to have the belief system like the Yankees have, to expect good things, not to just show up and play. Not to just show up and play. I expect good things. It's a mindset. Change your belief and you'll change your life. I looked for one today, but I couldn't find one that was worthy. But everybody's seen an acorn, right? Everybody knows what an acorn looks like. Here's a question for you. What's inside of an acorn? And I'm open for answers here. What's inside of an acorn? Excuse me? A seed? Anybody else? Huh? Potential tree? Yep. Let's go even bigger than that. A potential forest is inside of an acorn. A potential forest. Because see, when an acorn gets planted and it grows a tree, what comes off of that tree? More acorns. And what happens to that? More trees. I'm using the acorn and an oak tree as an example for us this morning of what the potential that's inside of you, just like it's inside of a tree, inside of an acorn. There's a forest inside of you of all sorts of different things, good things, of great things. It's really funny. In the woods, in the forest, the way you get a lot of oak trees to grow, the oak tree drops the acorns. This is generally what happens. Squirrels come along and pick them up, and they hide them in the ground. Now, at that point, things are not looking too good for the acorn, right? Not looking too good. The future's not too bright because the squirrel just put me somewhere to come back and eat me later. But what happens is the squirrels put them all over the place, and they never go back and get them all. And it's in the ground, and it sprouts up a tree. See, it's just like in life. When things happen to us, something's going to come back and eat us. Doesn't always happen. What can happen is spring up a tree, which will drop more acorns. Another way that they grow is the deer who do come along and eat them. They don't eat them all. They step on some of them. They get mashed into the ground. Tree pops up. They got mashed into the ground. You ever been mashed? Things in life happen to you? I want to share with you tonight that there's greatness inside of every one of you. My challenge to you is, do you believe it? See, I'll say that I believe it, and I do, by the way. But it doesn't matter what I believe. What only matters is what you believe. And that's all that matters. Now, the greatness that I speak of, I'm not talking about greatness to have your name up on a billboard, even though that might happen. I'm talking about the greatness that's inside of you. It may be world-changing, or it could be changes in your, it just could be changes within your world. It could be changes in your finances, in your career, in your relationships, your leadership roles, your role as a father, your role as a mother, as a grandparent, as a friend. See, the potential of greatness is inside of you, and I know it's there. That's what I believe. But again, it doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what you believe. Kitty, will you play, please? See, the idea here is the challenge I'm giving to you tonight is this. I believe that honesty is the best policy, so ask yourself and be honest with yourself about the greatness inside of you that's in there. A great father, a great mother, just like I shared there, a great friend, a great teacher, a great builder, a great doctor, a great representative of Coca-Cola, great Delta employee, great hairstylist, all those things. A great web designer, great business builder, a great secretary. What is that greatness? You create it. You make it. You make it. Change your belief and you'll change your life. What I'm going to ask you to do tonight is to step into what you know is inside of you. See, this is what happens. I told you I expect things to happen tonight. You know what? I consider myself to be a motivator. I consider myself to be a motivator. I motivate people. I love what I do right now. I had a client today and I said, I can't imagine anything being any better. I spend my day sharing with people about being positive, about growing, about stepping out, about being who you're supposed to be, of pulling it out of them, helping them just discover it and come see it. I want to ask you to be who you're created to be. Who is that? What is that? See, when you do that, you take your life, you take your business, you take every part of you and take it to another level. Go to another level, wherever you are. I want to ask you tonight, stop spending your life wishing things were different. Make it different. Make it different. Stop sitting around thinking, I'm going to do it here or here. Or when I get here, start it tonight, right now, today. Say, I am going to make a decision. I'm changing myself. And by changing doesn't mean you've been bad. It means what I just said, you go into another level, taking this thing to another level. I want to ask you to do it. Don't leave here tonight, because this happens so often. You hear something stirs up inside of you. Something that voice inside of you is saying, listen, there's more to you than you know. There's more to you than you know. And you get stirred up just a little bit, and you get excited about it. And then tomorrow, you let it just be a normal Thursday. Don't do that. It's all a choice. You get to decide. You decide when you get up every day. What's it going to be? Same old stuff or something totally new, something really good? You get to pick. You get to pick. And you decide. The idea here is that you stir it up and you keep it stirred up. You don't depend on somebody else to stir it up for you. You stir it up. See, if I depend on somebody else to keep me stirred up, it's not real. It's not real. I get excited every day. It's a choice for me. I get excited every day. I get excited. It's going to be fun. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to do things. I'm going to speak to people. I'm going to be nice to everybody I see. I could just go on and on and on. I get excited. I decide that. I don't let somebody else do it for me. I want to ask you tonight to be the oak tree. Allow God to sow forest from you. Allow your greatness to come out and the good things to happen and just to spread it all over. Be the oak tree. Allow God to grow that forest. I started tonight by telling you I wanted to challenge you, and I still do. Still there. I want to challenge you about what you believe about yourself, where you are, and where you're headed. I want to challenge you to make a change for you that will fulfill your purpose and destiny. I want to challenge you to see it and go get it. I'm going to ask you now, as Kenny plays, if you want to make a change, If you want to accept that challenge and decide that you're going to take yourself to another level, I want you to stand up and come on down here, and we're going to pray together. So I want you to take that look inside of yourself. Think about it. Let's just bow our heads right now for just a second. Let people think. Let the Spirit move. Don't sit still. Don't say, I'm going to do it internally or by myself. Come on up here and let some people talk to you and share with you and encourage you. Keep coming. Take the challenge. I'm going to move to another level. I'm tired of being the same old thing every day. I'm tired of just living my life hoping and wishing something's going to happen to me. I know that I'm in control of this, and I'm going to make the change. I'm going to make the change. I'm going to do it. Whatever it is in your life, if it's school, if it's work, if it's money, relationships, whatever it is, don't wait. See, what we do too often, I'll tell you what we do. We sit around and we pray and we wait on God to move for us, and God's waiting for us to do the moving. God's waiting for us to do the moving. It's all there. And He's with you and He'll help you. But He doesn't want you just to sit still. Whatever it is, make the change. Make the challenge. Decide to be who you were created to be. Father, I'm thankful for each one that stepped out here tonight and just made this commitment to you. You know each one of their hearts, dear Lord. You know each one of their desires, each one of their dreams. You know everything about them. And Father, I pray that this is the first step for them. That not that tomorrow's a new day, but a new day has arrived today. We look at things from a different perspective. We understand, and what we believe is, we believe that we can be who you made us to be. That you have good things out there for us. There are great things for me to do to make a difference in people, to make a difference in our own lives and other lives, everywhere we go. But I pray you would just touch each one of these, Lord. I pray that your hand of love and mercy, your hand of joy and peace, your hand of prosperity, of good health. Father, I pray that you just touch each one and bless them, strengthen them in everything that they go to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank y'all. All righty, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight, and thank you for this time that we've had to come and share. And I pray that those that came tonight again, that you just strengthen them internally in the decisions that they've made, and help them to be able to step out. For those that made decisions right where they are, dear Lord, I pray that all of us would make a decision tonight to understand that every day is a better day for us, and a day to do more for you, to live the way you want us to live and be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.